When the art day gets rough, you just gotta keep on punching. And here's your Thunder Punch Daily with Jersey Drozd.
Hey, it's me, Jersey, and it's time for your Thunder Punch Daily, the show I record not-so-daily, sharing a few thoughts on the mind of a cartoonist, recording in my car, as you can tell from the noise levels. I'm driving. Again. This is the only time I get to record anymore, it seems. It's a good thing that last couple episodes of Art and Story we've recorded ahead of time to form a buffer, because the end of April and all through May, as I've said before, is going to be crazy for me with all the teaching gigs. So I'm driving back from Sterling Heights, Michigan, after doing a student assembly for their literacy night. And something happened at the event that I thought was really nice, that I thought was worth sharing, and I'm going to attempt, maybe not valiantly, but I'm going to attempt to rope it into the cartoonist's life. And things we should watch for when we're being a cartoonist, and traps to watch out for. So I get to the event. Okay, so maybe, I think there were supposed to be 100 people there, and it wound up being like more like 50 to 75 people there. I didn't do a head count. And I was being paid well for this event, so I did lots of prep. I prepared handouts, I printed up mini comics to give away, I had a full PowerPoint presentation on my laptop. Got there ahead of time, did a lot of emailing with the organizers of the event, a lot of writing up copy for them to put in their newsletter, giving them art to put into their newsletter and into great flyers to give to the kids and into the kids' families. So there was a lot of work that went into this event, and then the expectations were set pretty high. They were paying me, like I said, they were paying me well, and there was a lot of coordination and organization that went into this thing to make it happen. So because of that, as most people would expect, you know, you're getting up in front of 75 people, and with all this prep going in, you want to do a good job. Of course you want to do a good job. And you could wind up becoming a little bit nervous about stepping up to do this. Performance anxiety and all that stuff, right? Well, I'm 2/3 of the way through my PowerPoint, making my points before we get to the hands-on drawing aspect of the event, and the projector died. It just dropped dead. It just shut off, and people scrambled up to the stage, because I was up on a stage too, believe it or not, with a giant screen, I mean almost movie theater size screen behind me, and people scrambled up to the stage to try to fix it, try to get things working again. And after about, I'm going to say 15, 20 seconds, it was clear that this wasn't going to be something that could be fixed easily. The projector probably was broken at that point. So I turned to them and I said, no problem, I'll just move on to the drawing part. You know, I was almost done with the slides anyway, and frankly, you know, who wants to watch us fiddle around with this stuff? Let's just keep moving. And let me back up for a second and explain something. I think I've talked about this before on Thunder Punch Daily, is that in these school visits that I've been doing for the Kids Read Comics Super Fun Tour, a lot of these are my what I would call out-of-the-box workshops. Workshops I've done literally dozens, if not, you know, scores of times. And it's something where the presentation is already built, the handouts are already built, the descriptions are already made. So there's really not a lot of prep that goes into these. I recently gave myself a raise as a teaching artist because of all of the prep that goes into developing one of my workshops for people, and because my workshops are good. But part of the reason that my fees are relatively high, I'll just disclose this now. I charge $200 per programming hour for a workshop. So an hour and a half workshop is $300. But then also it depends on the scope of the workshop. If it's a really technical workshop where I'm doing a lot of what I would call professional development stuff, I charge even more, upwards of $300 to $400 per programming hour. But I charge that much not just because of the performance itself, but because of all the prep that goes into it and all the expertise that's required on my part in order to lead an effective workshop, right? So, where's it going with this? Oh, so with doing these out-of-the-box workshops, the tendency can arise, and I found myself doing this, especially with the PowerPoints, and this is something that I'm thinking about moving away from, is my reliance on PowerPoints, because when you have a PowerPoint, there's an established order of how this has to happen. You know, slide one, slide two, slide three. And the opportunities for improvisation and happy accidents and discovering new ways to think about the subject based on student participation get diminished somewhat by that. You know, a PowerPoint, you can't slide around going back and forth through multiple threads. You have to open up alternate PowerPoints or skip ahead to different parts, which is kind of clumsy. In the past, I've done workshops where I use an overhead projector and a bunch of, like, literally hundreds of pre-made transparency slides or just blank transparencies to work off of. And I actually prefer working that way because I can move around a lot and scoot back and forth through various different topics as the students guide me through my questions. But I got hung up on this convenience of the PowerPoint, and it was making my classes get to be a little bit dry. How did I know that? Now, the classroom experiences were still fun. There was always a kid who asked a really interesting question that I didn't expect, and I got to go down different sort of modes of thinking, different aspects of comics creation that I didn't plan on covering that day, but I was happy to go there. And in those cases, I would run to a dry erase board or a flip chart and address it through drawing with them. But I didn't have that giant screen anymore. And I would find myself going back to that giant screen to continue on with the quote-unquote class. So going back to this idea, how did I know that they were beginning to be a little dry? Well, when I was leaving the workshops, even though I'd have really good reactions and kids running up to me after the workshop and wanting, just so eager to show me their work, I still kind of, on the drive home, I would feel like, well, I guess it went well. You know, but I wasn't electrified. I wasn't on fire, or I wasn't exhausted. That was another thing. That's another sign, and I've said this before. A teaching friend of mine, Mary Jo Finney, a woman who I deeply admire, and I'll say this publicly, I have a deep and profound love of this woman. She once told me that if you don't walk out of a classroom exhausted, you haven't done your job. I think the same is true of a comics project as well, actually. As much as I talk about doing mini comics because they're fun, they also should be somewhat intellectually grueling, or you haven't really done the work of a cartoonist. And when I say grueling, when I say exhausting, you still feel good, you know? It's like giving birth, right? You know, you see the picture of the woman after she had a baby, and she's all sweaty and gross looking, but she's smiling. It's the same thing. At least I think it is, not having given birth, you know. Any women listening who ever had a baby will probably correct me on that. But anyway, I was driving home feeling like, well, I guess they went well. I felt like they went well, but I wasn't sure. So now coming back to what happened tonight. So that projector dies. And I said, well, let's just roll with it. Let's see what happens. And I went to the dry erase board or the flip chart, and I started working that way. And I didn't know what I was going to do next. And I found myself improvising again and asking questions of the audience and having to think really freaking hard about what they said and how that ties into comics and finding a way to teach to that. And man, did I kick up a sweat doing that. I mean, I got a picture of myself that hopefully the person who took it will send to me so I can share it with you guys. I was shiny by the end of that workshop because I was working so hard. And what's more is I think it was a better teaching experience. The kids had a better time, and I had a better time doing it because I was faking it. I was faking my way through it and trying to find, just desperately trying to find something that was worth teaching, not knowing where I was going to go next. Now, there's two things that I think are good reminders to ourselves as cartoonists from this experience, and things that I'm going to try to keep in the front of my mind when working on comics projects. Is one is, don't be afraid of things going wrong, because it's an opportunity to have fun and improvise. We all want our projects to go well. We all want our projects to turn out the way we hope they will. But as many cartoonists will tell us, that ain't the way it always happens. And, you know, you get stuck on things sometimes. And when you get stuck, you can either muscle your way through it, or you can say, isn't that interesting, and see what happens next, and start to brainstorm and spitball some ideas to try to get back into that creative zone again. But in my experience, a lot of my best ideas came out of the fact of not knowing what the hell I was going to do when I started. Like, I think about the Boulder and Fleet mini comic that I did, where I sat down on day one and told myself I was going to do this thing in 7 days, and I had no idea what the story was going to be about. I said, well, what is my wife like? Let's imagine her as my target audience, as my client. Let's just make something for her. And not knowing what I was going to do at the outset, created a project full of largely characterized by a sense of panic, but also a sense of fun and a lot of intellectual grunt work, a lot of grueling intellectual work to try to make it happen, a lot of sweating it out, right? But then the other thing is that trusting your ability to improvise, you know? Looking for those happy accidents, but also just kind of having a faith that it's going to work out the way it should be. And even if it doesn't, you could always do another couch project. Even if this class didn't work out yet, like I was describing earlier, I took pains to set the stage that there was a lot of expectation placed upon me for this event. They were paying me well, there was a lot of preparation, and if I screwed it up, then I'd be disappointing a lot of people. Yes, you run that risk when you're doing a comics project. You may not like what you have when you're done, and an audience may not receive it very well, but there's always another comics project. So that's the big takeaway for me today, is that don't be afraid to improvise and have faith in yourself that you can improvise. I know this sounds like a pep talk, but I'm just trying to use an analogy from my teaching experience to talk about how it's very similar to being a cartoonist. And when calamity happens, you know, you sweat through it, and you're probably going to find some new inroads to get back onto that creative path, and you'll wind up having a lot more fun doing that. So it's a simple message, but it's something that is worth repeating, because, I mean, even I, today, you know, I found myself getting into a routine. The worst thing we do is get into a routine in our art. And we want to, you know, feel like we have some control and some expertise over this stuff. But I find it's much more exciting to not ever know what the hell we're doing and to fake our way through it all the time as much as possible. Because even though I was finding myself in this routine where I was getting contracted to do all these teaching projects and getting called in and paid to teach to all these kids, all these student assemblies, and having all these great PowerPoints that are making people happy, I wasn't as happy until I had a problem occur during one of my workshops where I had to quickly figure out, okay, how am I going to make this thing work? So, not knowing what you're doing, for me, and at least sharing my own experience, tends to be a lot more fun of a place to be in making comics. And I'm going to try to remind myself that most of the people who are successful at doing this, they're just faking their way through it too. And what's the worst that can happen? You have fun making comics, after all. So, a little bit of a pep talky one, but I don't know. Hopefully it's just if nothing else, it's an anecdote. There we go. This is an anecdote episode of Thunder Punch Daily. So who am I? I'm Jersey Droz, jdroz.com, Jersey on the Twitters. Thank you very much for supporting us in this project. We really couldn't do it without you. And nothing more to say, except I will be back soon with another Thunder Punch Daily. And until then, remember, everybody,
today He-Man was forced to play a dangerous game by the Game Master. The Game Master bragged a lot about winning all the time, but he became angry when he lost and said it wasn't fair. Well, playing games can be a lot of fun, but boasting when you win or getting angry when you lose spoils the fun for everyone. And pretty soon, nobody will want to play with you. So take a tip from me. Be a good winner and a good loser. You'll enjoy your games more, and so will the people who play with you. Good luck, and goodbye.